This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
First of all, in our farm news on this Tuesday morning, all three grains closed lower Friday, with traders not eager to take long positions home over the three-day weekend while there is rain in the forecast and the U.S. dollar index trades higher. Corn closed down a nickel in the July option and was down 4.5 cents in the December. Soybeans closed down 14.25 cents on the July option and down 11.5 cents for November. Wheat closed down 6.75 cents in the July Chicago option, down 11.25 cents in the July Kansas City option, and down 9.5 in the July Minneapolis option. For the week, July corn closed 5.5 cents lower, while December closed a nickel lower. July beans were 29 cents lower, while the November option was 27.5 cents lower. July wheat in Chicago was 4.25 cents higher. July Kansas City wheat, 4.75 cents higher. And July Minneapolis wheat was 7.5 cents higher. Right now, we'll recap the cash grain report from Friday.
This is Friday's grain report prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower late Friday afternoon, with corn, soybeans, and wheat closing lower following a favorable weather forecast for warmer temperatures next week. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted Shell corn 5 cents lower at $3.38 to $3.54. Soybeans are down 14 cents at $8.99 to $9.17. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted Shell corn mostly 5 cents lower at $3.35 to $3.60. Soybeans were down 15 cents at $9.09 to $9.29. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported Shell corn mostly 5 to 6 cents lower at $3.40 to $3.67. Soybeans are down 13 to 15 cents at $9.17 to $9.39. Wheat was down 5 to 7 cents at $4.21 to $4.85. Illinois soybean processors' cash bids were down 12 to 14 cents at $9.49 to $9.52. Basis levels were unchanged to 2 cents higher at 25 to 35 over July. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $309.20 to $329.20 per ton. That's up 10 cents, with basis levels unchanged at 5 to 25 over July. Illinois corn processor quoted Air Producer Corn Market 5 cents lower at $3.59 to $3.77. Basis levels were unchanged at 1 to 17 under the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed Air Producer Corn Market 5 cents lower at $3.59 to $3.62. Basis levels were unchanged at 1 under to 2 over July. Soybean bids were down 13 to 14 cents at $9.36 to $9.45. Basis levels were unchanged to a penny stronger at 12 to 21 under the July. New crop wheat prices closed 3 to 7 cents lower at $4.97 to $5.07, with basis levels unchanged to 4 cents higher at 18 under to 8 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed Air Producer Corn Market 3 to 5 cents lower at $3.79 to $3.80. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 13 to 15 cents at $9.61 to $9.63. Soft wheat was 6 to 7 cents lower at 515 to 516. Milo closed 5 cents lower at 410 to 426. Contract bids to producers for fall delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall delivery Shell corn contracts were offered at 340 to 353. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged from 848 up to 883. In central Illinois, fall delivery Shell corn contracts ranged from 333 to 351. Fall delivery soybean contracts at 872 to 887. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported Shell corn contracts at 340 to 354 for new crop. New crop soybeans were offered at 872 to 892, and June-July delivery soft wheat contracts were quoted in a range of 481 to 503. That concludes Friday's grain market summary.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade from Friday. June hogs ended last week at 83.72, down a nickel. July hogs ended at 83.72, down 12. August hogs ended at 83.72, down 35. June live cattle Friday ended at 152.12, down a quarter. August cattle ended at 150.70, down 20. October cattle ended at 152.60, down 2. August feeder cattle on Friday ended the week at $219, up $1.27. September feeders, $218, up $1.17. October feeders, $217, up $1.10. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 22nd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.03 lower in the range of $69 to $80, with the weighted average carcass price of $77.18. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading mostly steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 22 to 27, 4 to 5 weights 26 to 31, 5 to 6 weights 30 to 33, and 6 weights and up 32 to 35. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $53 to $58. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 7,708 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction from Thursday, May 21st. They had receipts of 162 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold $3.50 lower. Slaughter Holstein steers sold a dollar lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they ranged in price from $157.50. to $160.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were $143 to $148, and choice slaughter heifers $157 to $160.75. On to slaughter cows. Premiums were bringing $141, breakers $105 to $112, with some high dressing at $119. Boners were $104 to $110. And some high dressing at $118. Leans were $96. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $158 to $161, and on a dress basis $250 to $253. Heifers on a live basis traded at $159 to $160, and on a dress basis $250 to $253. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 264 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $84.77, and that was $1.16 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $260.25, that was $1.97 lower, with select carcasses at $247.62, that was $1.70 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000. That compared to 111,000 last week and 114,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 411,000. That compared to 410,000 last week and 393,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the WSMI Farm Show. USDA launches new system linking U.S. exporters with buyers. Sometimes the toughest part of selling any product is finding the potential buyers. Now there is a new way to do that for U.S. exporters of agricultural products. Gary Crawford has the story.
U.S. sellers of ag products can connect up with potential buyers in other countries with things like trade shows, trade missions, advertising. But now there's another way to make that connection. It's called the
Trade Lead System.
Kristen Foster with USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. The Trade Lead System is new. Online, it's free. Here's how it works. USDA has about 100 offices around the world dedicated to boosting U.S. exports. Those USDA people have contacts with lots of foreign customers looking for certain products. So when they get wind of a request to buy from someone, they're going to enter that into the system.
It's then immediately distributed via our Trade Lead System to all the people that have registered to receive these leads.
And don't worry, if you're selling kumquats, you're not going to get 100 leads about wheat. Foster says when you subscribe to the Trade Lead System,
you can filter out leads based on what specific product you want, but you can specify as you wish.
And take it from there as you wish. For more information, have your web browser look for USDA Trade Lead System. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack today released the following statement regarding Senate passage of Trade Promotion Authority legislation. Today, the Senate helped move America closer to securing responsible agreements that open markets for America's farmers and agribusiness and create jobs and improve wages across the country. Over 70 organizations representing America's farmers and ranchers and past secretaries of agriculture in both parties, dating back to the Carter administration, all support Trade Promotion Authority because export sales are vital for U.S. agriculture. Last year, agricultural exports totaled more than $150 billion, and for many of our products, foreign markets represent half or more of total sales. Those exports supported approximately 1 million U.S. jobs. The economy is strengthened and better-paying jobs are created in rural America and communities throughout the country by the additional economic activity that flows from expanded farm and food businesses. Standing still is not an option. Our farmers and ranchers face exorbitant tariffs and other barriers in important foreign markets, and if we do not act to maintain and gain market share in these places, our competitors will. U.S. agriculture's interests are best served by ensuring America is at the table with strong negotiating authority. How's corn emergence going? Though most Corn Belt states have had excellent emergence, some have experienced more of a mixed bag. Midwest farmers who have been able to enjoy ideal planting windows experienced dry conditions mixed with warm spells. However, others were dealt cool, wet conditions, and rain remains in the forecast. Germination is always good, and this year was no exception, says Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist at the University of Illinois. There aren't very many stand problems in Illinois. Most people have made good planting progress. Dave Mowers, agronomist at AIM for the Heartland, located in Wyoming, Illinois, says this is the best emergence he's ever seen. We've had cold weather and the crop is growing slowly, but the corn was planted in nearly perfect soil conditions with adequate warmth at the time of planting. That's not the case for everyone. The state of Indiana is really a mixed bag, says Bob Nielsen. He's the extension corn specialist at Purdue University. While Midwest farmers deal with sporadic rains that make for an extremely wet planting season, California farmers deal with a totally different problem. California farmers who hold rights to water that date as far back as the 19th century gold rush are bracing for their first state-ordered conservation in decades as a record drought prompts some of the deepest cuts yet in the country's most productive agricultural state. After telling cities and towns to slash use by 25% and curtailing water deliveries to some farmers and others, state officials said Wednesday that they would start mandatory cuts this week to the state's oldest right holders, historically spared from water restrictions. Regulators said those first orders Friday will affect holders of century-old water rights in the watershed of the San Joaquin River, which runs from the Sierra Nevada Mountains to San Francisco Bay and is one of the main water sources for farms and communities. For me, 25% I can handle, that from Gino Selle, who farms 5,000 acres of tomatoes and alfalfa and corn in the Delta. Any more than that, he says, I'm done. Farmers use 80% of all water taken from the land in California, and they'll likely use their limited water to grow valuable crops such as almonds, and less valuable crops there, like alfalfa, will be grown outside of California. That according to Jay Lund, director of the Center for Watershed Sciences at the University of California, Davis. Mandatory cuts scheduled for Friday would be the first to the state's senior water rights holders overall since the 70s, and first to senior water rights holders along the San Joaquin Valley in memory. This is challenging. It's not making everyone happy. More farm news after the break. Stay tuned for part two.
What does it mean to be relevant in today's global agriculture marketplace? To CHS, it means having the people and facilities in place to deliver Illinois feed grains to feedlots in Central America and Texas, moving soybeans from our rivers to the world, and to process corn into ethanol and byproducts to feed our nation's energy appetite right here in Illinois. It means providing investments in energy and agronomy to help ensure dependable supplies for CHS's ag producers. Relevant is investing in resources and markets to grow CHS's owners' businesses.
Welcome to Strongsville, where people take great pride in a good day's work, and where choosing Cub Cadet is the strongest choice one can make. Like the new XT Enduro Series tractors, the strongest, most comfortable lawn and garden tractors Cub Cadet has ever made. If you're the kind who believes a job worth doing is worth doing right, it's time to test drive a Cub Cadet. Stop by your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer, Seavers Equipment Company at Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, Illinois, and St. Peters, Missouri.
Once upon a time, Silicon Valley and agriculture would have made strange bedfellows. But it's increasingly the norm to turn to these digital dukes as farmers absorb more and more high-tech tools into their operations. And oftentimes, the tech industry places big bets on developing the next big solution in farming. Case in point, Google Ventures just closed $15 million in funding to support the Farmers Business Network, an independent farmer-to-farmer information network. With FBN, farmers access independent real-world information on members' inputs, agronomic practices, and yield performance. This allows members to see what inputs and practices may work best on their operation. FBN is using this funding to grow its platform nationally and work with more farmers. Now, farmers have been advising each other for thousands of years, said FBN co-founder Charles Barron. FBN gives them a platform to do so with real information on a massive scale so they can make the most informed decisions. And it's all about putting farmers first. Google Ventures partner Andy Wheeler says it's still relatively rare to find a team that bridges the gap between the tech-savvy and farming-savvy. Today, there are greater opportunities to scale their business than ever before, and we're excited to work with the FBN team as they help to build the next wave of productivity in agriculture. Google has partnered with other ag entities before, most notably with Raven Industries, to develop what it calls Project Loon, a network of high-altitude balloons that would cast a broad web of internet access to rural and remote areas that currently don't have it. Well, with planting nearly done, the market awaits crop condition report. The corn and soybean fields are nearly planted, winter wheat is close to harvest, and rain's in a forecast. It's making the market and Jerry Gulke wonder just how those crops are doing, thanks to chilly temperatures and rain in various parts of the Midwest. We may see some general observations saying that the crop conditions in general deteriorated, and that may be a spotty situation. So we'll have to see how that turns out, says Gulke. He's president of the Gulke Group in Chicago and a farmer in Illinois. Frost and standing water is a concern for both corn and soybeans right now. It got pretty cold up in northern Illinois and above. Some of that corn was frosted once, and it got very close to being hit again. There's a lot of beans and cold, wet ground all the way from the middle of South Dakota to the Canadian border. A lot of people may be thinking those beans may have rotted in the field and they'll have to replant. Tuesday's crop progress report should give more information about the hard winter wheat crop, which is also at risk from the heavy rainfall. We're getting close to harvest,
in that hard red winter wheat area, and they've had an excessive amount of moisture, Gulkey notes. It's just interesting that Texas solved their drought in 1 year. Weather forecasters said it would take years before that happened, and now we're getting as much rain in 1 day as we got all last year. It's amazing what Mother Nature can do for us at the last moment. Well, that's our farm report for this morning. I want to take a moment to thank you for listening. WSMI's long tradition of partnering with our farm community will continue to be one of our topmost priorities. Our roster of farm reporters over the years, including Max Stewart and Rita Frazier and Randy Prangy and most recently Angela Besch, have proven themselves as knowledgeable and as a friend of the farm community. In the interim, while the search for the next WSMI farm director continues, I'll do my best to continue that tradition. Feel free to reach out and help me do the best job I can. Call me here at the station or email me at johnmarty@gmail.com. And thanks for listening. That's all for part two of our new segment. I'll see you again.